What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Today we are talking about the mechanics that we absolutely need in the next mainline Elder Scrolls game. And I'm your host, Tom Robots. Here's Lotus of Doom next to me right here. And you probably noticed there's a bunch of other people on the screen. If you're watching on the video version on our YouTube channel, you can check that out or joining us live on Twitch. Welcome, everybody. Lotus, how you doing, buddy? How's things?
I'm doing very well. I've been playing, well, with whatever free time I have, which is not as much as I would like, so much Necrom. And now there's an event. So, like, I really need to, like, not do responsible things with my life so I can just play video games all the time.
I'm sure that'll last a long time.
Yeah, no, I can't see any negative effects coming about as a result of that.
Nope. Yeah, I've been enjoying playing my Arcanist and shooting a bunch of my green Doritos at everybody.
Excellent.
And
plus,
laser beams.
There's also still the fun of Diablo. So it's a mess.
Yeah, there's too many good games coming out currently. And we're only a few months away from Starfield. And that's just going to be
right.
That's going to be a whole nother commitment. So, yes, awesome stuff. But we have to welcome our patrons because we're here to talk about Elder Scrolls 16. Was that
Elder Scrolls 12? 16 we 16? Found out from the FTC earlier?
Coming out in 3 years? I don't know what the FTC is doing. My money is on Elder Scrolls maybe 6, not 16? Being the real thing, maybe?
I don't know about that.
Maybe in the next 5 years?
16 is a much bigger number. That means it's more important.
I mean, it's probably better. It's probably better. So, all right. So we're going to be discussing what we think are some of the mechanics that absolutely should be in the next Elder Scrolls game. And to do that, we have a bunch of patrons. We have some really awesome people here joining me and Lotus. And I'm going to go through and name all of your names. And then at the same time, we're going to count to three. You're going to unmute yourself and you're going to make the sound of your favorite dinosaur. Here we go. Ombre Mortem, Jumaroff, Rob the Princess, AK Spartan, Fulcrum, who used to be T-Rex and inspired this, Falcon with a Box On, and Dill Pickle, welcome to the show. Ready? Here we go. Get ready to unmute. 3, 2, 1.
Wow!
What kind of dinosaur says wow? Somebody said wow.
No, I heard wahoo, which I assumed was Charles Martinet, who was somebody just being Parthenax, who thought it was not a dragon, but instead a dinosaur.
Oh, it wasn't a Yoshi? Maybe it was a Yoshi dragon?
It was Mario-themed, for sure.
Definitely Mario-themed.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yoshi, by the way, I'm pretty sure if you listen to what he actually says in any of the more recent games with Yoshi in it, he says...
Please help me.
He says, bum... I'm pretty sure he says bum.
Perfect.
I think that's what he's... Anyway, welcome everybody. All right, we're going to go through
it.
I've got a list of things that we absolutely want and maybe want in the next Elder Scrolls game. These are different mechanics. We're going to go through some of the things I've listed out early on. Feel free to chime in with your thoughts about these. And then on the second half of the show, we're going to open it up. Anything that didn't get discussed on the first half, feel free to add in because maybe you have some even better ideas than the ones I've cooked up. Let's start with... something that a lot of people have already modded into the games like Skyrim, expanded magic. Do you see this as, first of all, on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being absolutely needs to be in it, and 1 being, we don't really need it in there. How do you feel about this, and what kinds of things would you like to see when it comes to expanding magic? Who would like to chime in? Anybody?
I have a question.
Rob? Yes.
How do we expand? We don't have a reference point yet. Like expanded magic is more magic than what it was there.
Expanded magic in a new way that's different from Skyrim.
I have some ideas.
Yeah. So, Jim Ruff, do you have some ideas on that?
new tools, you know, tools like they've taken away, like levitation and stuff like that. That's one way to go about it. Mm-hmm. But I would think expanding magic would be things like fire burning down grass and trees more, or expanding on
like things that catch other things on fire, like some games will do.
Yeah, I love that, or ice effects. Slick the ground and enemies slip on it. Like, I expanding magic in that way I think would be pretty cool.
Environmental,
I mean, that's an awesome idea, and I love that.
Why can I not walk on water with ice?
Yeah, like that. Something crazy, like, yeah, that's great.
Right.
Or if I don't want to swim, I just hit the lake with so much fire, I evaporate the entire thing over the course.
There you go.
Fish everywhere.
Perfect. Yeah, or if you want to slide down, if you want to slide down the side of the mountain, you just cast an ice spell on your own butt, and then you've got like a sled on your butt, and you just go.
Like in Breath of the Wild, when you're like sliding on your shield and stuff, if like there was an ice traversal move, just to be cool.
Yeah.
Like, you could run down on your horse, or you could just like surf down Frozone style. That'd be great.
Yeah, I already love this idea.
You could have like environmental effects where if you like turn an NPC into a zombie, their children will scream, "Daddy."
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
You know, just things like to add to the environment and the effects of your magic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it'll do.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone got real awkward.
I was going to say, little zombie childhood horror.
It's very immersive, though, Rob. I do like it.
Yeah.
I like the immersive aspect of it.
Okay. So, expanded magic effects, like real world context, like actual fire in working on physical objects in real ways.
Literally expanded the magic as opposed to expanding the fields into, like you had mentioned, levitation, which was where my thought went. It was like, okay, yeah, bring back things that used to be, you know, maybe not mark and recall because that was weird, but
come on, let us have it.
Throw it in the pile.
Just,
you know,
break the game. We're playing.
It's cool. Okay, yeah, what about magic crafting? Because that would be the other way you can expand magic. Like, what can we do magic crafting? Because we can craft potions, and the potions can do crazy stuff in like Skyrim, and especially in the older games. What about crafting your own magic spells? What if you want to cast a fireball, but maybe you want to grind some really rare resources that you can use to power that fireball up, and now it's 100 times bigger? It's like,
ooh, like an alchemical ingredient that helps your magic pop off. Is that what you're
saying? Or like the runes, like when you do enchanting in ESO, like runes that like enhance it.
Yeah, maybe have runes that enhance it, or maybe like one of these games are highly influenced by Dungeons and Dragons. One of the things you have to do when you're a wizard in Dungeons and Dragons, you need the components in order to cast the spell. Right. So I'm not saying you lock off the ability to cast like fireballs because, you didn't have a red leaf and a toad's tongue or something. But what if you could get something
bat guano
that? Yeah. What if by going and getting the magic bat guano, now you could double the size of your fireballs?
I'm not joking. No, by the way, that is the legitimate ingredient for fireball in D&D. I think onto that, back to the D&D roots, it would be cool to have like the sorcerer class has meta magic where you can mold your magic and it's slightly different than everyone else's. So your fireball is, it shoots out way further, or it shoots out much larger of a blast because you've shaped it to be this different magical effect.
Right.
Or yours burst into electrical field instead of fire because you... made it that way.
What if you could shape the way the fireball looks too, right? Like not just the size, like what if you had made every fireball look like Nazim's face?
Those are called mods.
No. Those are called mods. No, we don't want that.
That would be really weird.
Or just like a butterfly. Like my fireball is shaped like a butterfly. What's yours shaped like?
Or in a game mechanic kind of way, instead of dual wielding magic or still casting magic and having a sword, you had a tome or a ruin or an orb or an item, and that was the modifier, right?
Oh, like
if you had
Arcanist?
This orb,
where they have the little book.
Yeah, exactly. Something like
depending
that.
Depending on what item you use to focus your spells will affect how it shapes.
Yeah.
You double down on being a mage, but you don't carry a weapon, or honestly, if the staffs did anything in the games too.
If staffs were useful, that'd be nice.
Well, imagine different staffs with different items at like the top of the staff, like different gems, which could then harness your spells in different ways. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what was that, Falcon?
Expanded could even do stuff outside of gems. I mean, it's all magic and fake, so dark magic, do like human flesh or something crazy. Can use like a taproot or something to be a more like nature.
Yeah, if you go like way into the whole necromancer thing, maybe instead of holding an orb or a staff, you're just holding like some dead guy's head.
Holding a bowl like a bowling ball.
Like it's a lich's head. You're just holding.
I'm just saying like a shrunken head or maybe a mage's hand.
Yeah.
You're literally using like the skeleton hand of an
mage. Well, I like that you could kind of get weird, like kind of what I think Falcon's implying with like some of the stuff that when we had talked about some of the schools of magic that have kind of shifted off into either mixed together or they kind of just don't talk about them a super lot in the series. If they want to get strange, they could go into like shadow magic, which is super a thing in the series and they barely ever talk about. Yeah. You could do some weird stuff with that and probably get some pretty cool effects from something like that too, because the only game that's really screwed too much with that was Shadowkey, which all of 9 of us played. So like it'd be kind of interesting to show that to more of people that are interested in the series.
The Nightblade class that's implemented in most of the Elder Scrolls games also canonically uses shadow magic.
Yeah, it's always got those little like hints of it when they do like their duplicate versions of themselves. Like ESO actually does it a couple times where you can have the shadow version of yourself and you can port to yourself type of thing. Yeah. I think that's supposed to be a version of shadow magic. So there's always like that little nod toward it. It'd be kind of cool, like a single
pretty
player.
Big in all of the games because it's
it'd
arena.
Be cool if they like really let you go with that in one of the games, just like run amok with it.
Like really embrace it as like a major thing rather than just kind of a side thing that shows up. We got to move on with some other ideas. What do you guys think about expanded magic? 1 to 10, everybody hold up some fingers or just shout it out. What do you think? 1 to 10, seeing like an 8, 9,
more magic,
10,
say about a
7. All right, so these are pretty high.
Hard time with this.
Pretty high. Did you say 3? Did Falcon say 3?
That's one of his hot takes.
Did somebody say 3? I heard a 3.
There's the hot take.
That's fine. But in general, okay, you guys are on like the higher end of the scale. All right, let's move on to the next one. So you can build settlements and things in Fallout. And we're going to have like a outpost system in Starfield. What do you guys think about a settlement system in Elder Scrolls?
I think we already almost had it in Skyrim with those, the hearth, whatever that.
Yeah.
Hearthfire DLC.
It was like the really early implementation.
We were so close.
Of like, let's build a house. Here you go.
Okay. Well, so I love this idea, but sort of differently. The homestead expansion is kind of just like, hey, here's your house.
Right.
For anybody that played the Elder Scrolls Blades, where you have to build up your town.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, Fallout 4 has like the settlement feature as opposed to just your house. You literally build a settlement and then like you get benefits from that. I know overused, a lot of people were kind of like, oh my God, like somebody smother Preston Garvey. I don't care about the settlement.
Stop
teaching me how to do stuff.
Okay, but
which
here,
I get. But like, I love the idea of building the stuff up. I thought the Blades implementation was very cool, but because it was restricted to a phone, it was limited. I would like it if they did more with that. Like that could be kind of cool.
So
building
it
up with a purpose.
What I'm envisioning here is less of a Preston Garvey saying, "Well, you gotta go help that settlement now," and more of a like you can build, you can set people in certain locations. You can go.
Yeah, here's your home base.
To another location, you can build at that other location. Maybe you want to buy some land in a certain city, build up some more things there. But then interconnect all of those locations with like trade and merchants and travel and really kind of
really in depth.
Yeah, like take it up just one more notch from what we're getting in something like Starfield or Fallout 4. And so instead of having somebody go, oh, you got to go help that other settlement, you just basically are just building and creating things as you go. And it's less about like certain places getting invaded and need to protect them and more about just the construction and the possibilities.
Yeah. Maybe not make it forcibly in the quest line and have it be like, and that was the thing. I think they were so excited about what they did with it with 4 that they kind of like were so excited to show it to you. A lot of people are like, okay, yeah, I get it. Leave me alone.
Right.
But
right.
Each of the games kind of jumps off what was started in the previous game. Like Homestead was one thing, and then the settlements were way more extreme than that. But like prior to that, there's like different versions from game to game. You see a little snippet of like, oh, here's a system we implemented, and then the next game usually expands upon it.
Right.
So it'd be kind of neat that it, you know, we haven't seen Starfield yet, but like we might see some of the precursors to this if there's more you can build. But I like the idea of settlement building when it's not the purpose of the game, but a feature of a game.
Right. I think we all probably agree that it needs to be an enjoyable feature without getting too much in the way of doing quests and other things that you want to do.
Yeah, I don't think... like the minutia of like setting up trade and all that. That sounds too convoluted for me, but like I'm not gonna yuck someone's yum. So if that's what people want, then fine, just don't make it a like big aspect of the game. But I did like in the Hearthfire DLC plus with mods that I've added, you can get like your house, you can get like a stable, a mill, a guard tower set up, mm-hmm. and you can get a bard, you can get all these other things. And most of those were with mods added to it that made it more interesting. But something like that would be really fun, I think. Just I don't care to get it too convoluted beyond that.
I think it would be kind of cool.
Sorry, lots of people talking. Falcon, you go real quick. So
yeah.
I don't know if I think it makes sense, at least the way it exists in Fallout. I don't know if it makes sense to exist in Elder Scrolls.
Okay.
Because Elder Scrolls, at least how I've played it and how it feels to me is a more like independent thing. Like you're a person in the world, but you're separate from it. In Fallout, you feel more like you are working with the people of the world, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I could totally see the whole like you're the Dragonborn, so simply by definition you're separated from somebody else, rather than you're a guy who survived in a vault.
Yeah,
you got a good
we're
luck.
Not reworking to rebuild the world in the Elder Scrolls series.
We're not rebuilding the world in that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I could see that. Well, okay, so T-Rex, what were you saying?
I was gonna say I think it would like if we were to have this like mechanic in the game, in the next game, I think it would be kind of cool. Like, you know how in from what we see in the trailer in Starfield, your followers can like be the crew of your ship.
Right. Yeah.
It would be cool if like you could get followers and then like bring them to your little settlement. And then they're like the barkeeper dude or the general store lady.
They've got jobs. You know? Yeah.
Come to my commune and join my cult.
Right. Okay, yeah, so here, let's expand this idea one step further. Based on, like Lotus was saying, usually there's progression from one game to the next, even when it's in a different series. You've got spaceships in Starfield. What if we have the Iliac Bay in Elder Scrolls 6 and you have ships and you can make your own ships and crew them and either use them yourself to transport yourself across the bay or just send them out there to go do whatever it is they're going to go do. What do you think about that?
Ship-to-ship combat.
Ship-to-ship combat,
Andre?
Yeah. Jumarov, you were going to talk. I think you're still muted, though. You got to unmute yourself so we can hear you. We can't hear you. Unmute.
Maybe if you stay muted, it'll...
All right.
There you go.
I'm here.
Okay. Forgive me. What were you saying?
I just want to throw one thing out about the settlements.
Sure.
The next Elder Scrolls game is probably going to be the last one we play before we all perish.
Oh, God.
30 years.
You're probably not wrong.
For yourself.
Yeah, right? And so we're going to live in that world forever. I think... It'd be sorely lacking if we don't get to leave our footprint, if we don't get to design a settlement that we take care of, defend from raiders, build outposts and stuff. And you don't have to do it, but if it's an element of the gameplay to foster a town and build out, I think it'd be really important, but I think it can't just be busy work. It'd have to be beneficial. And, you know, maybe you start an apothecary and you pick someone to be the alchemist, or you find someone and they're like, I'll be your alchemist, whatever. But farming and growing crops and stuff like that to benefit yourself. So you don't maybe have to go to a dungeon or go kill a mammoth, mm-hmm. but you have a mammoth herd that you regularly get your resources from. I think if there was utility behind it, I think it would be much more fun and not just a burden.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I would imagine that there'd be different ways to make money, get the materials you needed in order to craft things or grow crops in order to make potions or all of that stuff. Absolutely. I think that totally makes sense. So you mentioned mammoths. I'm going to move this on to the next topic because we could probably have a 3-hour conversation about
also,
all of these.
Thank you for making that super existential and morbid.
thank you for that. What about other animals you can ride other than horses? What if you had a mammoth farm and you trained them from birth to like be rideable? And so now you're riding mammoths around.
I have a question.
Sure.
Would they all function identically? Or would there
it would animate just like a horse. It'd be super weird.
Well, I mean, Zoth does it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, look at ESO.
Like if on a mammoth, you're slower, but you don't get knocked down as easy.
Yeah, maybe a mammoth you could just use to charge your enemy and like knock him over, and then you could fight from it with a bow or something. Whereas a horse is more agile, but is also easier to take down, right? Or what if, I mean, I don't know that there'll be dragons, but there could be other large creatures that maybe you can train and ride on.
That's dynamic gameplay. I think that'd be great.
What the rest do you think? T-Rex, interesting. Okay. I
wonder if there'd be a farm with your mom.
I mean, if your mom's a farmer.
Oh my.
Is your mom a farmer?
Oh my.
I'm just going to pretend that I didn't get the joke. Your mom's a farmer, then sure, she can farm.
That
typically the jump forward would be your mom's on the farm, she's a farm animal, haha, your mom's a cow. So if we follow that logic,
I was talking about like things you could ride.
You could also ride your mom. But could you ride a cow?
Let me ask your mom.
I feel like the degree that Rob had literally nothing to input has actually spiraled into us trying to make this into a logical situation.
Oh man, that's great. Okay, so any other thoughts on rideable animals or riding your mom or your mom being a cow? Nothing else. All right. All right. So, okay, let's do a quick rating. Let's go back. Settlement system out of 10. How much do you want that to be in the next game? I've seen some 8s, some 10s, 8s, 10, 8, 10, 5. Rob, you're only 5, or you have 2 hands and I can't see the other one.
No, I just don't really care about it.
That's
that
fine.
Much.
That's fine. I just didn't know if I couldn't see one hand. That's all. Yeah.
It's fine.
I was just not sure.
Can I have Rob's other 5?
You can add Rob's 5 to your 10.
I'll do 15.
Yeah.
There's a 15 in chat.
Fire.
Okay, so that one's in that range. What about pilotable boats, craftable boats, things like that? Where are we at? 1 to 10.
4? I think other games have done it pretty well.
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay.
Say like a five or six.
Okay. 11. All right. 11. Oh, Falcon really likes it. I'm seeing some middle scores and some of you are way higher. Some of you are like 4. Okay. Now, what about other rideable animals? I see an 8, a 7, an 8.
I'd say about 8. Yeah.
6.
Okay. I guess I don't know how to like do no fingers because then it just doesn't look like I'm raising my hand.
I mean, you can just do a 0.
That's why I was like, we'll just go 0.
I just want them to be better than they were.
That's
in Skyrim.
The thing. I never use mounts in like any of the games.
Oh god, Skyrim is a completely different experience if you don't fast travel and you use a horse to get around.
Oh no, you can scale mounts.
It's a great experience. I don't fast travel in Skyrim, but I walk.
You just walk. You don't ride a horse.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are you even doing?
I don't know. I have like 3,000 hours in that game, but I've never used a mod.
You gotta use a horse.
I wish the horse system in Skyrim was more like it is in ESO. Then I would use the mount system in
the
game.
Specifically,
you summon the horse.
Like, specifically, you summon it.
The speed. You can summon it whenever you want.
Like
you can dismiss it.
Right.
Like I don't want it to just always be there.
I gotta say, even when I had art,
I don't have to manage it.
I want it to be faster. That's my biggest issue.
Okay.
Slow.
I kind of like the fact that like if you just have a normal horse, it can like die or you can lose it. You get off it for combat and you're like, crap, where'd my horse go?
Like, I recently found out.
This should be a toggable thing.
When playing through Daggerfall, if you're not careful while riding a horse in town, you can crush civilians and then the guards try to kill you because you're a murderer.
That sounds awesome. That's so good. That's so good. Okay, so we're moving on from
the
animals.
Idea of it, but it's just tedious.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, let's move on to the next one. All right. Larger population towns.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. That's a given. 100%. If we don't get that, I'm not going to buy the game.
Actually, 10 billion%. Yes.
Yes. Why do we have like hard to argue 20 against. Person?
It's not a request; it's a requirement.
Okay, so we have to be careful.
NPCs or random, just like generic.
We have
randomly
AI.
Generated ones.
We're gonna have we AI. Have, well, here's we, okay. We here's AI, here's the main issue. The main potential issue I see with this. I think this is like you're all agreeing. Absolutely, we want more realistic, bigger towns. How big though? Because If you go into Whiterun and it takes you 15 minutes to figure out how to get through the town up to the throne room, then you're going to be like, oh, dear God, this game takes forever, right? Good. Like, for some people, they're going to be like, that's amazing. That's so, I don't know. That's really drawn me into the world. It feels so real. But for a lot of people, they're going to be like, oh, I never go into towns. It takes me forever to get anywhere. Like what's the sweet spot for the scale of this? I guess
55% of Daggerfall's towns
make the sweet make spot. Exploration interesting, yeah, and say, it's like, not it an issue. Well,
here's the thing: then you can have like back alleys of all the cities and like all that cool, like you know, like the huge hospitality of the city.
Right.
Sorry, so, I just ate some spicy.
I think what this ends up doing then is instead of getting a large swath of land with a few different cities in it, we end up with maybe a city being a main focus and then some other more rural areas. But the city becomes like, if you look at the scale of Skyrim, like the actual map size is only like 4 miles across or something, right? Like it's not actually that big. So any major city will fit within 4 miles. So if 2 miles of that Skyrim map is city, then there's 2 miles of it that's not. Or you need a really big map with really big cities. But you get what I'm saying? Like the scale is definitely something that has to be considered.
Yeah. And this goes into, I think someone mentioned that they might be bringing this up later. So sorry that I'm still in the limelight a little bit. But if you make exploration more interesting, it doesn't matter how far you have to travel through the city to get to your objective.
Right.
Because if you have games like Spider-Man, Grand Theft Auto, Assassin's Creed, all of these games that have huge places to explore, but it's fine because exploring is part of the game. That's
but
the
would you
experience.
Be okay with half the map being city?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it needs to be. I think you just have really big cities and you have even bigger, like vast, like woodland areas to explore as well.
So
you can have big things of both.
Right. So
you want more of everything.
So if we follow that logic, then that means that it's a bigger game that takes longer to produce. And now it's absolutely the last Elder Scrolls game any of us will be playing, like Jumarov says, because it takes 10 years to make because everything's so big.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like 10 years is a real pipe dream at this point. Look,
they said 2026. I don't want it to be 2026. If we get Elder Scrolls 6 in 2026, it's going to suck.
There's zero chance we're getting Elder Scrolls in 2026.
Well, it may not. look at BGS in the past. Like the distance between Oblivion and Fallout 3 and then Skyrim, like those games all came out within a few years of each other.
Right, but for
can I have if, a cynical?
If there, well, here let me finish the thought. So if got and then it. And then you can go. So if that's the case, and they have a team that's increased in size for Starfield, and they don't need to make any major technology jumps to the engine because Starfield's been refined and polished, then they very well could, with a very large team that's rolling right into Elder Scrolls, pump out a game in 3 years. I think that is not likely. But it seems like it could be possible if all of those things actually fall into place. Because they've done it before.
Every 1 year I'm selling my PC.
All right. So who else had something to say? Somebody else wanted to talk.
Jumarov did.
Was it Jumarov? Go for it.
I think a cynical take on why it's taken so long for them to make the game. I mean, it's a big game, a big undertaking. And if they released it 3 years after Starfield, I think we'd feel that. I think we would feel the shallowness in the game, where if we get 6 years of them developing, it'll be substantially better. But my cynical take is they want to monetize it in the new modern ways. I think Bethesda is looking for the market to develop for them to find an opportunity to sell us DLC, and the audience being more ready and willing to participate in that. And I think a lot of that is just waiting and developing the tools to sell us Skyrim 6 and all its little in-store microtransactions. That's my cynical take on why it's taking so long.
I don't really hope there are none of those.
Well, here, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I think that's actually probably somewhat correct.
But it's also the reason why it's taking so long is because they've been 100% focused on Starfield for 8 years right now. They haven't actually really begun development of Elder Scrolls 6 beyond just like mapping out concepts for the storyline.
What about the trailer?
And early stuff. Like,
yes, that screensaver was very nice.
Yeah, they've been doing some like basic groundwork stuff, but they haven't actually really begun.
Just as some context before we move on, so just saying that it does come out in 2026, well, we'll just assume they actually secretly have been working on this the whole time. They're going to nail it down and it's going to be done in 3 more years, or they super rush it to market, whatever the case, it comes out in 2026. Just as a gauge, when we were talking about like time, that's actually only 4 years longer than the entire length of the series in perpetuity prior to that, just in gauges. From Elder Scrolls 1 to Skyrim is 17 years. It's 13 years from Skyrim to Elder Scrolls 6 if it comes out in 2026, as a gauge for all of this.
That's crazy.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it, is that they've made these other very big games, and it hasn't taken them 6 years to do previous ones. Like, right. But if you have a big enough team and you have the technology in place, and it really just takes creating a bunch of assets and knocking everything out, then maybe they could do it shorter. Hopefully. Now, I don't think it's likely. I'm just saying it seems like it could be possible in like the most perfect scenario, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think we'll get Elder Scrolls 6 for another 5 or 6 years, honestly.
I just want to put a spotlight on people that haven't spoken yet. I want to hear from them, because we've had like Spartan hasn't said anything, I'm pretty sure.
Spartan, what do you think? You got any thoughts on this?
On test 6, I do think 2026 feels a little soon. That just feels unlikely. I think there's been a lot of good ideas. I really liked what Jumaroff was saying with the magic. That's actually one of my favorite parts of Wolong Fallen Dynasty, what they do with the elements. And there's actually boss fights in that game that can be completely trivialized by using the element that the boss is, like, if you use the element that the boss is using the weakness of. So like if you're fighting a fire boss and they buff with fire and use ice, it actually will take away their fire. And it does basically that type of thing. And I think putting that in a game like Elder Scrolls, which is so much more expanded than something like Wolong, which is a little bit more like trying to be historical and stuff like that. Like Elder Scrolls is much more high fantasy, has much more stuff that they could play around with. I think that would be really cool. And then I was with the settlements, the thing that I was thinking, I think there's a lot of fun stuff. Like I think of like in Fallout 4, like the random events that come with settlements that are like threats, and how they're pretty basic. Like it's pretty much just like, what type of enemy do you want to fight? Like, oh, it's super mutants attacking this settlement. Oh, it's ghouls. But like that polished and put in the Elder Scrolls universe, like I think of like, if you're in Morrowind or like the deserts of like Hammerfell, like you could do really cool things with like what challenges you have to stop to protect your settlements. That's not just, oh, like this different, because like in Fallout, like I said, in Fallout 4, it's pretty basic. It's just, what type of enemy are you going to defend your settlement from? Right. But I think they can do a lot more with that, which would be really cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to chime in that hasn't had a chance to really talk too much?
Shoot, what were we just talking about? City size?
There's city size. We were jumping topics a lot, but the last one was city size. Yeah.
I think that The Witcher 3 set the precedent for me with city size. I think that that's probably what I would want out of an Elder Scrolls game.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, specifically Novigrad being a fairly large feeling city, but not too big.
Yeah, and it was easy to find everything, you know. And then with the settlement system, I don't know how many people here played Kingdom Come Deliverance, but with Pribislavitz, I think that was the name, how it was kind of like a late game thing. And you could like I think it would be a cool thing, like say you save the emperor and he gives you a plot of land that you can build up and create a whole settlement out of that. I think that would be my preferred if they add settlements to Elder Scrolls 6.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I think that
I was definitely thinking of The Witcher 3 as a good comparison of at least that should be minimally what it should be. And hopefully we get something better, but at the very least something more lived in like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool city and it doesn't feel too big. It takes you some time to get through it. There's enough diversity of buildings and locations, but ultimately it just feels like another set piece among many other places you can go. So yeah, I like that idea. All right, well, let's I've got one more. This is kind of a small one, and then I've got what's probably going to be a big conversation, and then we'll open up to the rest of you guys. So we're gonna do a small one, we'll do the mid break, and then we'll do one more and then open it up. So this other one is destructible environments. Now that could mean many different things. I don't think we're gonna see like you cast fireballs on the side of the castle and it blows the castle up, because that's a little bit too destructive to the people in the castle and who the NPCs are and where they're going to be in the quest line.
Now
that.
I want it.
Right. Like
it's also really strong fireballs.
Right. Well, you drop a meteor from the sky and it breaks walls and things. But what about smaller things like the cart on the back of the horse and you hit it with something and it breaks and falls apart, right? Like we've already seen some destructibility in games. In fact, you can mod destructibility into Skyrim and have like in VR, you could throw somebody against the table and it breaks the table, right? Like these smaller objects. What do you guys think about
that? It does kind of tie back to the expanded magic that we were talking about too.
Yeah, because now you've got the physical properties of the objects, and they love having objects in the world that you can interact with and all the different things. But what if you come across maybe not the sides of the wall of the big stone tower, but maybe like the little witch's hut. And if you hit the wall, it breaks the wall. And like now you've got a big opening in it and she's mad at you or something.
What you got against the witch, man?
What is the line, I guess, is the issue of that? What's the difference between a tree on fire, a few trees, and a forest fire?
Yeah, well, at some point you have to figure out
a master spell.
Well, what a lot of games do that, like the Far Cry games have been modeling fire that spreads for a long time. And what they tend to do is they will limit the spread and eventually the fire goes out on its own before it hits a size that's so large that it tanks the game and ruins your frame rate. Right. So there are limitations around that. So like how many destructible objects can you have on screen at the same time, like all of that kind of thing.
And there would be like smaller trees that can be destroyed and larger trees that just are so thick and old and like they're impervious to that.
Right. So maybe stone buildings don't break, but wooden things mm-hmm. can, or maybe certain yeah. types of even just objects in the world. Like what if your sword doesn't necessarily wear down, but there's a chance it could snap in the middle of battle, or somebody else's sword could snap. You know, like you're fighting with somebody and maybe there's a more advanced combat thing and they block, and then all of a sudden the sword breaks. And what do you think about our shields getting beaten down and having like parts of them broken off?
So, okay. On that, I just want to quickly say like, so is this stuff going to be repairable? Like at
maybe,
some point,
maybe it is. Maybe it's maybe if the buildings in your outpost or your shelter get broken by invaders,
like
you can
like
build
if
it.
Your sword snaps right. in combat, right. is it like effed? Because
maybe you can repair it. Maybe if you have the smithing skills, you go back.
Stools.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so yeah. The reason I ask is, as interesting as I am in the new Legend of Zelda games, they are literally unplayable to me because of the weapon breaking system.
You just hate that part, huh?
So this would be something that would probably make me skip the game entirely. Like it would be that annoying to
you
me.
You love the old Elder Scrolls
I hate that system
games.
So much.
Okay.
All of the old Elder Scrolls games have that except Skyrim.
Yes, I was going to say, and they're a bit torturous, but you can also repair them.
Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, wait, obviously you can repair them. I would imagine that
they're just broken.
No, Zelda's just broken. Yeah, I would imagine that you can repair it. You're fighting, your sword breaks, so you pull out your dagger, you kill the guy, you take the broken sword back to the forge, and then you fix it, or you pay somebody else to fix it if you don't have
the
skill.
Yeah, and I get the Oblivion's repair hammer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's why it's like, if it's repairable or whatever, but it's like, if I have some sword that I super love or some piece of armor and it just breaks and you're like, ah, too bad, man, it's done forever. It's like, nope. I don't think I can do. But if it's like, oh, it breaks in combat and then you have to make do until you get back.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you have repair kits or whatever, then right. That's fine.
Or what if a really specific critical hit hits your pauldron and it breaks the pauldron and it falls off your body? Right. And you actually see it modeled on the character, or you do the same thing to an enemy.
I'm on board.
Like, that could be really cool.
I can live with that. I mean, I find weapon degradation and stuff realistic, but I don't always like my games to be super realistic. I find it a bit tedious with stuff like
that. As long as the solution is reasonable and simple.
Yes, but perfectly put, Rob. As long as the solution is reasonable, okay, that's fine. I can live with that.
Yeah. Omri?
I have a very long thing to say about this, so I was letting everyone else go before I talk. So this actually goes back to the magic. I was debating on whether to talk about this now or during this, and I was like, I should probably mention it now. It'd make more sense. You'll see why.
Yeah.
So I think it would also be interesting if we do have things like breakable weapons and stuff. Maybe you also have enchantments to allow you to like enchant them with magics to make them unbreakable or resilient to magic being applied to them. And this is why I'm mentioning the applying of resistances and stuff.
Right. Or to build on top of that, craft it, and you craft it with better materials, so now it's less likely to break.
Yeah. And the other thing is reactive elements. So let's say like if they were to add like water magic and you would like, you know, splash some water on the ground and then you put frost, and if someone's charging at you, now they slip and fall on the ground.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like if they have a wooden shield, you burn it because, you know, it's a wooden shield. What are they going to do? And now they have to like toss it away because their shield's on fire and it's doing damage to them.
Right. Or somebody does that to you and then you rush them with your fire shield and bash them in the face with the fire shield and then you drop it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or bashing them with it puts it out because, you know, you can smack them in the face with it.
Sure. Yeah. That would be cool.
It's just like a lot of like possible like reacting of elements within the magic system that I think they could really do that would really sell, especially like in how like D&D there's always just like really cool reactions, like, oh, you know, like the rogue tosses out basically a chemical, then the mage puts a fireball in it, causes a huge explosion, and like everyone loves that stuff like in D&D because it's like that's how you cheese a fight. But in Elder Scrolls it'd be like, oh, like you put down like, you know, like let's just say like someone's like charging with a sword, you apply fire magic to it for like a minute, and then you apply frost magic and it causes it to be really brittle, and then it just snaps. Mm-hmm. So you can almost cause the effect to happen.
Yeah. You freeze somebody's sword and then it's more likely to break. Yeah. That sounds really cool.
Back to the D&D ties that you have mentioned there. In earlier D&D editions, they had rules for weapon durability. And if your weapon was made of normal steel, it was a pretty simple weapon. It was probably going to break if anyone tried to break it, you know, if they tried well enough, at least. But the more magical the weapon was, if you had it enchanted, the harder it was to break it just inherently. If you made it magically more durable, but if you just made it magically more powerful, that magic also inherently made it harder to break.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah, that'd also be a way of doing it if you just don't want to like add in like you know, like someone said in chat, unbreaking four.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. All right. Well, tell you what, we got to take a quick break. We're going to go thank our sponsors. Our sponsors today are our patrons. We're going to thank our patrons. Words are hard. We'll be back in a minute. We'll be discussing some more stuff. So don't go anywhere. Here we go.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, it's the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons, including our newest patrons, Iceman Liddell 1776 and Tom G. Welcome to the Patreon. I am so glad that you are here, and thank you for your support. I hope you are enjoying all the stuff you're getting. And we got to shout out our Daedric Princes, Jacob K., Kira C., and Noodle Al Dente. Thank you for your support. And all 131 of our patrons. Holy moly. Thank you for being here.
I feel like I'll be the only person on the cast to maybe know this, but if that's actually Chuck Liddell, the former UFC champion, that's our Patreon subscriber. Wow, he has some varied interests.
Welcome, Mr. Liddell. also, we have a new review. This one comes from JDHDSBD in the United States. Very simple and to the point. This is great. I listen to this while at work, and it absolutely helps get the time. I'm not sure if there's a verb missing there or whatever, but you're very welcome. Thank you for your support.
Assuming his name is an acronym, what do you think it stands for?
Just did hot dance sexy ballroom disco.
Wow, you nailed it.
That's got to be what it is. Thank you.
The show before you said all of those words next to each other.
That sentence has never been created before. It is a new sentence. Thank you for your support, and thank you for leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you do so in the future, we'll read it out on a future episode and come up with what your acronym means. Thanks for the support, everybody. You guys know how all this stuff works. Let's get back to the chat because we have so many other things to talk about. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so I'm going to pitch another idea, and this can be very controversial, but I want you to only discuss the least controversial version of this idea so that we don't get mired in the ethics of it. So what if we had a ethical integration of AI for NPCs? And by ethical, I mean that you still have the voice actors doing all the voices. The voice actors read lots of different words. They then use all,
like
they pay
Hatsune
them
Miku.
They pay them a lot of money to do all the words that you would ever need. And then the AI is able to reconstruct those words into whatever pattern it needs to in order to make the NPCs work, right? But you're still paying the voice actors for their work. You're not actually cutting out the voice actors in this case. So
how?
What? Sorry, what's the question?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, like, the actors are, they're reading off just words, right? Well, and then the AI is putting them together.
I can imagine this could happen in many different ways. You could have them read a variety of sentences, and then you could use the sentences, and the AI can then predict how they, what their intonation and the tone of the voice would be for other sentences using other words. You can have them go through a set of words so that it's actually more accurate to the way they would specifically say those words, and then the AI can adjust it for mood. I think there's a lot of different ways you can do this.
T-Rex, how familiar are you with Hatsune Miku?
I'm not at all, but my question was going to be like, so how is that not like...
If you're being paid for the use of your voice and the continued use of your voice in the future, even if you don't have to take the time to record more lines, but you still, let's say somebody pays you to do your character, T-Rex, you do your character, and then they decide, you know what, we're going to use your character in a DLC. And they're going to show up and they're going to have different lines that we absolutely want them to say. But we're going to generate those by AI. But we'll still pay you exactly as much as you would have charged in order to read those lines yourself.
I was just like, I'm having a hard time like wording it in my head. So like, I'm just like, how is it not going to sound silly? Like when the person... or the character is actually like speaking, mm-hmm. like how is it going to not sound like, you know, those AI things.
It sounds like a robot. You're going to be like, yeah, it clearly sounds fake.
How are they going to make it not sound like that?
So let's we're
progress.
We're playing. This is imagine. We're imagining this. Yeah. We're imagining the future, right? This is still 6 years away or whatever. Imagine a future where the lines
where it
that the
sound like that
where it doesn't sound like that, but also the lines that the voice actor actually read. So maybe the voice actor reads all the actual lines for like the main quest line that their character shows up in, right? So all of those are 100% voice acted with the same inflections and everything, right? But then after that quest is done, that character hangs out in your settlement and you may want to say, hey, Jimmy Joe Bob, you think you can help cut some trees on the edge of the settlement? And the character needs to respond to say, sure thing, Chief, you got it, right? But they didn't actually record that line. The AI created that. And then that line is now very close to the voice acting lines. The voice actor still gets paid for that.
Think of it like Bumblebee from Transformers.
Yes. Okay. It's automatically generating the voice based on the context and the situation that's going on so that it can expand the role of the character in the voice acting. But at the same time, the voice actor knows that this is what they're going to be doing with their voice, and they agreed to it, and they got paid for the use of it in that way also, not just in the original voice lines they did. Does that make sense? Do you see how this is this morally sort of works out as long as everybody's in agreement about it? But it also creates gameplay elements that allow you to expand out the game in other directions. That's what I'm going for, and I'm sure we could argue the ethics and the actual functionality of it. That's not my point. My point is, if you could expand the game out with and AI created NPCs that feel like actual people you can talk to, what do you guys think about that? That's what I want to talk about. So what are your thoughts on that? Let's say everything's ethical, everything works well. Are you cool with that? Does that sound like a cool thing to integrate?
I mean, my unfun answer still comes back to ethics, because no, I don't want to further the use of AI and popularize the use of AI, even if it's ethical in this instance, because popularizing it is going to make it more likely to be used unethically either way. And I'd just rather stay away from it. And that's not the fun answer, but that's where my feelings are.
Okay. I mean, my sense of that is that it's inevitable. It doesn't mean it's okay.
Sure.
It just means
we can still fight it as long as we can.
It's going to happen anyway. What do the rest of you think? Let's say you can have NPCs that you just come across in the game, and you can talk to them about things. Maybe there's even a way for you to talk into your microphone to the NPC, and then they respond in certain ways, and then they actually act on it or do things or respond back.
I think that's the part of AI that could really work out for maybe, who knows how deep it can end up going, but just for generic conversations. Maybe you walk into a town and you start mouthing off to NPCs and they respond to you with semi-coherent responses. You know, you walk up to Nazim and you're like, Nazim, get the hell out of here. And Nazim's like, don't say that to me. You guys fight.
Right. Or Nazim's like, screw you, buddy. I'll be back here in 2 minutes with my buddies and we're going to teach you a lesson. And then he actually goes and does that. Or you make fun of the merchant's little, you're like, man, this shop's pretty crappy. You don't have anything good here. And the merchant's like, fine. Yeah, I'm going to just charge you double for everything now. Right. Like, they just on the spot decide those kinds of things because they were told.
I think that's where AI will take its place in like responses from NPCs, because as it stands now in gaming, NPCs are pretty bland if not written specifically, and I think that's where we're going to get unique interactions from.
You could also imagine things like this. You have a companion running around with you, and instead of like clicking on the ground somewhere to say like go over there, you could simply turn over and look at your companion and go, hey, you take points, I'm going to hide behind you and cast spells. You should probably equip your shield. And they go, all right, here we go. They pull out their shield and then they take point for the battle, right?
Right. Lydia, hide behind that tree.
Right.
When I attack,
shoot him with a bow.
Ball or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Shoot him with a bow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I do want, like, obviously games inherently do have AI installed in them already. Things as old as Arena still have AI. So I do like the idea of improving AI. I just like the way that it's going in our modern world is very bad, unfortunately, but I do want improved AI. And I do think a criticism that even Starfield is currently still getting is that, like, the dialogue scenes that we've seen are very Oblivion-esque when you're staring into a blank, emotionless face. And their dialogue, like the voice acting is good voice acting, but you're staring into an emotionless face still. And
right, like their face isn't matching what they're saying or the tone of their voice and stuff like that. Is that what you're saying, Rob?
Exactly. So I want AI to make our NPCs more
lifelike,
normal and reactive and lifelike, and they'll smile when they say something happy, or they'll get angry when you hit them or something like that,
but
like
in a non-robotic kind of way. Part of what sells actual human interaction isn't even just the actual face. Like, here I'm gonna say a line like, oh, I'm so happy to meet you. Right. And my face just like, I just made emotions happen on my face. But what if I did it this way instead? Oh, I'm so happy to meet you. And I move like a person. Right. Like it's the other little things that really sell it. And what we're getting with, say, Starfield or any of these games is frozen head. Oh, I'm happy to meet you. Right. Like people don't do that. Like, that's weird.
The zoom in.
Like, I think there's a little more in it in like ESO, or a little more to it in ESO, but like even still, like some of the, sorry, my cat's going crazy. Even still, like some of their actions like don't match up to what they're like, sometimes you could see their hands moving, but like their hands moving are not matching what they're saying. Or right.
It's because
like
there's canned animations. It's like they're choosing from, say, like 100 different canned animations. They're like, okay, let's pick the excited one, but it doesn't really match exactly the way it should for the character. And you'll notice this, you'll see the same excited animation on all of them, or frustrated, or like there's only so many animations they can choose from. But an AI could say, generate that on the fly for everybody in slight different variations. And then now it looks a little bit more natural.
I think in a perfect world, when like with everything ethical and like no issues, I think AI could add a lot to the game.
But unfortunately, that isn't always the case.
We have to be, they have to be smart about it, and they have to, not mess it up.
Right. I get you. Any other thoughts on AI stuff before we move to some of your ideas?
Overthrow the machine.
Stand against the machine. All right. Who has an idea that hasn't come up yet that they'd like to? And we don't have a whole lot of time, but who'd like to throw one out there just for us to consider? Anybody? Anybody have any ideas? I know we didn't cover all of them.
I know other people wanted to go, so I'll let other people go first.
Yeah, I'd rather let other people jump in first, and I can fill in if need be.
All right. Who's ready? Anybody? Oh, Dill Pickle. I see Dill Pickle's hand.
So I know like everybody's kind of tired of Skyrim and it being re-released, but I would really, really like to continue on the Civil War. I might not be agreed with a lot, but like just Dragon Age had the keep for Inquisition when it came out. And you could choose like every story, you know, everything, like whether you put Loghain, whether you killed Loghain or made him a Grey Warden, you know, vice versa, whatever. Mm-hmm. I wish we could do that. Like the Imperials regained control over Skyrim, united it. And then now we're taking the battle to High Rock to fight the Aldmeri Dominion, or, you know, something like that.
Like the Aldmeri Dominion has pushed in, and so now like the combined forces of the Nords and maybe some other groups are now at war with them, and this is kind of a continuation of that conflict.
Nord alliance with Hammerfell, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I'm down with that.
Yeah, like if the Stormcloak won, they would, you know, send a raven to Hammerfell and ask for an alliance to just wipe them out.
Maybe the other way around. Maybe they're losing their lands to the Aldmeri Dominion, or just the Thalmor specifically, and they're like, hey, listen, we need some help from the Nords. Here's what let's band together. Totally. That would be cool.
I think it'd be more interesting if the what's left of the Empire fights back to the Thalmor, personally. Like, because this is not an Empire versus Stormcloak fight. This is a Thalmor versus everyone else fight.
Yeah, that could make sense too. I guess it just depends on if you want more Nords, if you want more Empire.
Well, it also leaves it in a way where this game isn't going to be taking place in Skyrim. So if we have, oh, the Stormcloaks are doing it, it's like, well, that specifically defines what happened at the end of that game. And Bethesda has time and time again kind of wanted to leave character choices to be left to your interpretation. So that's a way where, okay, the rest of the Empire is still fighting to take over the Aldermary Dominion, but we can leave what happened with the Stormcloaks and the Empire kind of vague, so it still fits in with whatever your playthrough wanted to be.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, that could work too. All right, good one, Dill Pickle. Who else has an idea they'd like to share?
Yeah, no, I like that idea, actually. I personally think the Alliance thing is very cool. Like, so not an unpopular opinion, I don't think. Actually, yeah, pretty solid.
Yeah, the idea of banding together for some cause
It gives a good conflict, even if it's not the main conflict, too, which was kind of Skyrim. It's like, it was almost like a secondary main quest to a lot of people, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. All right, anybody else? Any other thoughts?
I have a suggestion.
Okay, well, you go, Rob, and then we'll go to Jumarov.
Okay, great. Bring back classes.
Okay, so you got the one that I was going to bring up.
Classes.
Well, let's team up together, Lotus.
Okay, yeah. So what do you mean by bring back? Do you mean like in Oblivion style? Classes. Or do you mean like before that?
So sort of literally everyone before Skyrim had a class system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Skyrim was the first one to ditch it entirely, and it was just a freeform skill setting that leveled you up. All the others had varying types of classes with different ways of leveling them, which also brought in a lot more skills that kind of have been filtered out or condensed going forward. So, like, I know a lot of people, I'm not actually even personally partial to the class system because I kind of do literally everything. But I know a lot of people that helps with their role play idea because they can set themselves in a style of play and stick to that better.
Right.
I know not, you know, that I literally am God of everything and perfect at all aspects of the game is not something a lot of people really enjoy after a while because you become super overpowered. But like, just because that's my gameplay style doesn't mean that it's like, I actually think that might be the minority. Like, I think a lot of people like the class idea of like a literal class you play into.
Rob, do you want to add on to that? Go ahead.
Yeah, my class idea is, it's probably going to piss off Lotus a little bit because I still want classes to be brought back, but I want them to do it in a sacrilegious way.
And they break all the weapons.
Damn it.
Everyone has broken weapons all the time and they can't be repaired. That's
the class of broken weapons.
No, I play Dungeons & Dragons a lot. I play Pathfinder a lot. Video games, I play Baldur's Gate. I play Solasta. I love these games, and they're all based in Dungeons and Dragons, obviously. Multi-classing is what gives me joy. It just the optimization that you can do with combining certain features from one unique class to another unique feature of another class. I want subclasses, multi-classing. You have classes to choose from, but you're not married to any of them. You pick and choose what aspects of what classes that you want. I want classes to still exist. And if people want to just be a straight, the Nightblade class or, you know, whatever classes they're going to have, they can do that, but leave room to just go mad and just mix and match class features.
Right.
So you can still be your mess of a Skyrim character.
Yeah.
But it's all based on a class system that you can kind of either choose to be one class or you can be this multi-class madness.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's a strength, actually, if the game goes back to that, even though it's not necessarily my focus of gameplay, because I would be kind of just a mess like I always have been, as best to my ability, even some games that really try to downplay you being able to do that. But I think it's more a benefit to replayability and other players if they're allowed to do that role play aspect to the game.
Yeah, totally get it. Not a limiting kind of system, but a system that allows you to focus and then expand out from there.
Focusing to the system, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And each class is going to have unique traits to it that are going to have really cool powers or really cool features. Like, maybe not everyone's supernatural. You could have like the thief class is just like really good at climbing, and so you could bring back the climbing features from other games and do that. But then mix that into a mage class, and now you're a wizard who can climb on walls, and you can mix and match as you want.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really cool see what monsters you can create with that.
I like that. That sounds cool. All right, we've got Jumer off here, and then we got to wrap things up because we're going a little long. Falcon also wanted to. Falcon, T-Rex, what did you want to say?
I just wanted to say, like, on PC, I play Skyrim sometimes every now and then, and I got those mods where you can, like, it brings back the class system of Oblivion, and then you also, there's another one where you can, like, have, you can follow, like, a certain, like, if you wanted to follow an Aedra or a Daedra or Sithis or Ifray or whoever, so, like, I would love that, like, to add on to what Rob was saying about classes and stuff. I want that, but, like, you can still kind of, like, it's still the Skyrim way of learning your skills.
Yeah, like Nightblade Cultist or something is like a...
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool. So that's just my little two cents, I guess.
That's cool. Now, did Falcon want to say something about this topic, or did you have your own topic that you wanted to bring up?
My own.
Okay, so let's jump to Jumeroff real quick, and then we'll get to Falcon, and then we'll wrap things up. So, Jumeroff?
Minor quick.
Go for it.
You guys run with these. Aging, weight, and scars, like in Fable.
Like Fable stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be cool. I'm down with that.
Doesn't, but we had mentioned The Witcher before. Doesn't your, like, hair grow in The Witcher 3?
Mm-hmm. Your facial hair, too. I've
played a moderate amount of Witcher 3, but I'm pretty sure, like, yeah, you have to, like, manage that stuff if you don't want to look like a hobo.
Or you can look like a hobo.
Yeah, or purpose. You could just be a hobo.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, the only thing is, I would like them. I mean, I would not like it to affect your attributes necessarily. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas tried the thing where, like, you needed to like get buff to like run longer and stuff. And
right, if you were fat and you just ran, you couldn't run very long.
If we could skip that part of it and just have it be cosmetic changes type of thing, like
I want to be a really old, out of shape guy who's just kicking everyone's butt.
Well, I mean, it would certainly maybe make people think twice before, like, uh-oh, I'm in combat and things aren't going well and I'm out of potions, but I do have 247 legs of venison that I could eat. Like, maybe
wheels of cheese
have an effect on you.
Oh, God, I'm now 600 pounds.
Right.
Like, it'd be kind of cool if, like, your character hasn't slept for 300 hours. And so your skin is, like, super pale. You got, like, really disheveled look.
You start hallucinating. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm super... Well, on board with
like
that.
I said,
that's how you summon Vermina.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But more so like cosmetic differences, like your character just looks like absolute shit.
Right. Am I turning into a vampire or did I just forget to sleep for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, or just I haven't slept in 3 years in game time.
That'd be amazing. All right. Falcon, we got to get to yours. Falcon, what were you thinking?
Hey. All right. So one is very tiny. Trade should not be completed instantly. I should be able to put an item in and select an item I want and then pay the difference, like Fallout and older ones used to do. I don't know why they got rid of that.
Okay, so wait, so did you guys get what he was saying? It's a little echoey. What's the...
I'm hiding in the word bathroom, so... Sorry.
Okay, yeah, it's a little echoey. It's a little, like, hard to tell all the words.
Try to, like, muffle your voice with your hands so that, like, there's no echo.
Talking to the phone or microphone or whatever. So you were saying something about buying things and then not getting them right away?
For when Skyrim trades are completed instantly, like in the older ones, you can select multiple items at a time before the trade.
I got you. Like a better...
Yeah, I know. Okay, I know
it's almost
saying.
Like just like an improvement to the UI system to choose what you're doing and then move things over.
Okay, yeah, I can fall with that. Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, because that allowed you to barter in the other games too. Like you would... I have this much worth of crap. Like, how much does it cost? And you can try to barter with them with the persuasion thing. So there's kind of a reason to have it bulked up. Yeah, that actually makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, and did you have another one, Falcon?
Better sneaking.
Because so more realistic? Or, like, what are you thinking?
More realistic, tougher. I mostly, outside of Skyrim and New Vegas, I pretty much only play stealth games. Like, I love Dishonored and Thief.
Okay. So more like the way their systems work.
Yeah, more like that to make it instead of being like, oh, if you sneak, you are literally God in Skyrim.
Yeah, pretty much.
To make sneaking actually, you have to pay attention to other stuff outside of am I behind the person?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Sneaking was very overpowered very quickly. So I would be fine with the improved sneak system. Like, I don't really sneak, but I kind of know what you're saying, just because like there's a reason most people choose Stealth Archer, because it's easy. It's
so powered. Yeah, but if you built in a system that like played with the sound, like if you're wearing metal armor, it makes a clanking noise and the enemies can hear you, or
which you could bypass so quickly, was kind of like one of the things. Like, if you put perks into it, okay, well now this armor doesn't have weight, so then it doesn't make sound, or you just learn muffle immediately and just like, okay, muffle, and now nobody can hear me, and like I just walk up right behind people and stuff like that.
Right.
Maybe make it like lighting matters or something like
that. Or if you play, lighting should matter, sound should matter, but if you also played into what you guys were talking about with a class system, then certain classes would be the only ones that actually get perks to sneaking. Everybody can try to sneak, but the real OP stuff only works if you go like thief or assassin or something.
Yeah, I would be like the loudest person on the planet, because I would just be like clanking through the hallway being like, thieves guild here, and like that.
Yeah,
perfect. Right. I'd be on board with this.
Right. I think that makes sense for kind of gatekeeping it a little bit, not in a bad way, but in a like you have to be a specific class.
Moderating is better. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a better way to use.
Trying to gatekeep me. Oh.
All right. Well, those are some good ideas, Falcon. All right, we got to wrap this up. We're going a little bit long, but we got to wrap this up. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. These are some really cool ideas. I would love to hear what people at home or at work or wherever you're watching or listening to this are thinking. Also, a reminder, we're really close to 1,000 subscribers on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel. And all of these episodes go up on YouTube. It's a wonderful place you can watch them. You can see all of our faces and all of that. So if you'd like to help us out, please subscribe over there. All right, we're going to go back through everybody. If there is something cool that you've got that you want to put out into the universe, then feel free to share it real quick. Otherwise, thank you for being here and being awesome. We're just going to go through the list as I can see you on my screen. So we're starting with Ombre. Ombre!
Oh, I'm first.
You're first.
So I'm Ombre Mortem. I stream sometimes, pretty much sometimes at this point. I mostly do like Diablo 4, World of Warcraft. I need to get back to Elder Scrolls. I really need to. But, you know, that's kind of all I do at the moment.
So at twitch.tv/OmbreMortem?
Yep, that's
cool.
Where I'm at.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. Jumarov, you're up.
We can hear you. Jumarov everywhere, anything. I don't take much of it serious right now, but if I'm online, come hang out. Say what's up.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. And then Rob.
Thank you.
Rob the Princess?
Yeah, I'm Rob the Princess. I have a Twitter account. I don't really use it much, but you can follow me. Sometimes I do say stuff. I am one of the guild officers for the PCNA Lorecasters Guild. I have been taking quite a bit of time off lately, so you probably won't see me on there recently, but if you guys do want to play, I'll be back on there soon, and if you guys want to join the guild, just shoot me a message or just join the servers. There's ways to join in the Discord server, of course. Otherwise, I think that's really it. Sky Oblivion Project, we got a release date. I think that one's 2026. So
is it 2026? I thought it was earlier than that. But
oh, you know what? It might be.
I thought it was like next year or 25 at the latest.
I think it might be 24.
I know what I'm talking about. I promise.
Sooner rather than later. Sooner. Be excited for it.
Join Rob and become less informed.
Listen, I just work here, man.
June 2025, fan in chat says. So thank you. There you go. Cool. Well,
that's it.
That'd be awesome to play. I'm looking forward to that. Very cool. Thanks for joining us, Rob. AK Spartan, you got anything cool going on?
Yeah, I don't have anything to promote at the moment. At some point this summer, I will start streaming stuff on Twitch. I still am kind of just enjoying not having anything to do. So I don't really want to have anything to promote yet. I haven't had to put anything back on my plate yet, so I don't really want to. But I have been playing a lot of Diablo 4 and a lot of Necrom and all that stuff. So obviously I'm down to run that with anybody. I'm on the Discord, sure. So I'm sure people can find me there. Hit me up. I can hit people up too. So other than that, not really anywhere, but I'm obviously got the time to play some games. So I'll be doing that and looking for people in the Discord.
Awesome.
Wait,
awesome.
AK, is that Hank Hill
on your wall.
On the wall behind you?
It's the what dang.
Dang.
That is awesome.
He's saying it's dang. It's the damn album, but he's saying dang.
Oh, that is rad. Yeah. I love it. That's so cool.
It's one of my favorite posters, actually. I have to get it touched up a little bit because it's not in great shape, but it's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, dang.
I like it, man. Cool.
All right. Awesome. Fulcrum or T-Rex, whatever we want to call you, I guess. You got to unmute yourself, though, because we can't hear you. I think it's fine. On Zoom. I think it's the Zoom that's muted. There you go.
Yes, I forgot I did that.
Got it.
I was like, I pressed the button, but I don't know. I have nothing. So I'm that's just cool. In the Discord. I've been playing ESO a lot lately. I finished Necrom. That was great. Now I'm just working through the main or the other storylines, I guess, on my Arcanist. So
nice. Awesome. Yeah, well, thanks. I'm glad you made it.
And now I am Fulcrum on all the things.
Fulcrum. So no longer T-Rex, only Fulcrum. Dinosaur fans. I'm sorry.
F-U-L-C-R-U-M. Because normally Fulcrum spelled two L's.
Fulcrum.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So whatever. Awesome. Thanks for being here. All right.
So the word, not the name. That's all.
Second to last, but not least, or second to least, Dill Pickle. Nobody ever says that. Dill, thank you for joining us. You got anything you want to share?
You can find me on like Xbox and Steam at the same username.
Dill Pickle 004 specifically?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Cool.
I play some ESO now and again. I just hit Champion 160 finally. I've been playing it 14 and just hit 160. Me and my brother play a lot, but I'm not streaming yet, but I plan on starting soon. So you can find me on Twitch at the same username.
All right.
Or I think it's 0044 because I lost the other account.
Oh no. Okay. All right. Well, let us know when you decide to stream and maybe next time or time after that or whatever. And we'll remind people, but awesome. Good luck with that. Thanks for being here. And then Falcon, you're wrapping us up.
Hi. Should be left echoing here. Apologies for that.
It's all right. It's all right. We're just trying to, make sure we get what you're saying. That's all.
Yeah, no, I know. I play single player games. I don't use social media much, so you can add me. I don't do much.
You're cool, Steve.
The box on. But in much bigger news, this Saturday, I will officially be a married man.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Congrats.
Very
nice.
Some weird mix of stress and excited. Yeah.
That sounds
great.
About right.
I'm sure it'll go fine. I'm sure it'll be great. Yeah. Well, that's great. Congratulations. That's huge.
Any hot takes to send us out with?
Oblivion is the worst Elder Scrolls game. It's not an action adventure game like Skyrim, and it's not an RPG like Morrowind. It's a crappy middle ground.
Wow. All right, everybody.
I don't know what to say.
Everybody, oh Falcon with the box on.
Unbelievable.
Falcon with the box on Discord for anybody who... God. Oh, man, chat is upset. You should do... Falcon, you should do a YouTube channel... Screw the whole streaming thing. Do a YouTube channel where you just give a hot take about something and piss a bunch of people off.
So,
and then do the opposite hot take the next time you do a video.
I think he had a hot take that was the exact opposite, like three shows ago, where it was like Skyrim was the worst game.
No,
it's funny.
Elder Scrolls is not worse than Fallout. That's the take you're thinking of.
Well. It's funny just because, I guess I would be more shocked, but this isn't actually. So one of the old co-hosts, well, it was the original founding host of Tales of Tamriel, the other podcast that I host. He had the same sentiment. So I guess that's why I'm not super shocked. He hated Oblivion. So I'm like,
oh, no.
This just sounds like something I heard before.
Oof. All right, man, them's fighting words. Lotus, you have anything you want to share before we head out?
No, I was going to say, we'll have a new episode of Tales of Tamriel, discussing Necrom and all its fun goodness. But we also have some spicy conversation coming up due to some, interesting takes that have been going on in the community that have been hotly debated on the current status of ESO and stuff like that.
That never happens.
No. What? And so we've got a nice diverse cast coming out to discuss all of this like civilized people, instead of the way that people like to discuss things on Twitter, which is just typing in all caps because I guess you're trying to yell or something. I'm not really sure why people do that or anything like that. So should be an interesting discussion coming up, but that should be out by the start of the week.
Cool, man. Yeah, everybody knows if you type in all caps, then everything you say is true after that.
It's true. Well, plus it's on the internet.
And it's on the internet, so it's 100% true. The more you force your opinion on other people, the more likely they are to believe you.
No middle grounds.
What? Thank you for being here, everybody. This has been awesome. You can find all my stuff at robotsradio.net. Also, if you're excited about Starfield, that's coming out. Starfield Lorecast has a new episode that went out today. So you can go look that up on whatever, wherever you're listening to this. We've got all sorts of cool stuff coming for that. And we'll be back next week. So we'll see you pretty soon. Until then, stay safe out there. Goodbye, everybody. See you later.
See you later.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.